from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you. We're on 96.5 The Fan. We appreciate you wherever you are listening. Let's talk a little bit of baseball. Danny Hughes is going to join us coming up in 10 minutes. Also trying to get Nate Taylor to join us on the show as well to recap training camp. Let me share a baseball story with you guys before we get back to talking about football. A headline right now on ESPN.com. Major League Baseball is considering having a minimum starting pitching rule coming next season. Let me read this to you. Quote, the commissioner's office wants starting pitchers to spend more time on the mound and pitch deeper into games and less time in the operating room undergoing surgery on their arms. Baseball wants more balance in a sport that has revolved around strikeouts in recent seasons. Quote, we are interested in increasing the amount of action in the game, restoring the prominence of the starting pitcher, and also reducing the prevalence of starting or pitching injuries. Excuse me. There are a whole host of options in addressing those issues. I know baseball people never want to hear this about your sport. It can use a little redecorating and some improvements. Over the last 5 years, baseball fans have pushed back on every single idea that the rest of us have tried to throw to make your game better. You guys hate the extra inning rule. You guys love the purity of 15 inning games in June that no one else loved. You remember, hardcore baseball fan hated the idea of a pitch clock. Well, you millennials just need to get on board. Baseball numbers are up. Television numbers are up. People are going to the game more. No one wanted to sit out there for a 3-hour-and-15 baseball game. It has now got down to 236. It is the same baseball that you have come to know and love. They just started to cut a lot of the mess out and get it back. So this would be the rules. You are allowed to take your starter out of the game early if he does these three things. Throws over 100 pitches, gives up 4 or more earned runs, or gets injured. And if you come out with an injury, that pitcher then has to go onto the injured list after his appearance. So baseball is trying here. Let me give you some numbers and why I am for this. Baseball continues to have an action problem. Did you know right now that the average batting average is .244? 244. The average hitter that comes up there is hitting .244 with a .313 on base percentage. Strikeouts way up. Hits also down. Now we can talk about velocity and guys are throwing harder than they've ever thrown before too. In the NFL, when this happened, they continue to adjust the rule to make it more of a passing game. When you look at the NBA and basketball, they have done things to free up freedom of movement with players. Baseball is the only sport that we watch that simply doesn't want to change and doesn't want to improve to make it more fan-friendly and offensive conducive. The time that we all loved baseball the most, they were hitting home runs and getting on base. People can talk bad about the steroid era all they want. Let's just take Let's go 20 years from now. Let's go back in 2004, 20 years ago. In 20 years ago, the average batting average was 266, and it is now 8 strikeouts on average a game. It was 6 strikeouts per game back in 2004. Baseball was a better product 20 years ago. When you see that your product is worse on the field than it was, you know what you start to do? You start to do some tinker. You start to do some changes. You try to improve the sport. Rob Manfred, you all right, man. Now, I didn't like when you called the trophy a hunk of metal. That didn't seem like it played over that well with your participants. I thought you handled coming back from COVID really, really bad. Rob Manfred, you have not been perfect in being the commissioner of Major League Baseball, but if you were telling me that you noticed what I noticed, baseball could just use a little bit more action. Nobody is saying that every baseball game needs to be 9-8. That's not what anybody wants, but how is the average batting average today around 244? You guys want to know the last time it was that low in Major League Baseball? It was 1972. They are no better offensively in 2024, if you look at the numbers across the board, than they were in 1972. That is a problem. Rob Manfred, you see what I see. We got to do something here. We got to make baseball more exciting. Thank you. I appreciate it. This is what I want.
So I'm all for tweaks. I'm all for changes. I'm all for the pitch clock. I was all for a lot of the things baseball has. I was all for instant replay. I was all for a lot of the things baseball has implemented to improve the sport. Carrington, this isn't a tweak. This is a massive rule shift. This isn't the NFL for an equivalent, hey, tweaking the kickoff rule. This would be like the NFL was like, hey, next year, we're going to do first and 25, and if you don't get 8 yards on first down, we're going to take a player off the field. This is a massive, massive change, and I am not for this. Listen, I agree with you. Baseball has an action problem. Pitching is way ahead of hitting, but I don't think forcing pitchers to go 6 innings unless they check 3 magical boxes and totally diminishing a bullpen is the answer to their problems. There are probably answers. The way they can raise or lower the mound, we saw in the dead ball era. I think that would be something they should consider doing. Maybe you move the mound back from 60 feet, 6 inches. You can kind of manipulate a maneuver. I'm fine for those tweaks. This is a large-scale rule change, and I don't know I like it. I like the idea of changing things. As long as the changes are tweaks, we don't need massive, large-scale changes, and this would be bad for baseball. Because if a pitcher is getting his teeth kicked in, he might just stick it out there because that's what the manager thinks. And that's better? No, it's not better.
But according to this, though, you wouldn't have to stick it out. These rules are fair to me. If you throw 100 pitches, you can come out of the game. If you give up 4 or more earned runs, if you give up 6 runs in the second inning, sure, take your starting pitcher out. This would move things. Now, you mentioned a radical change. We've seen radical changes in the NFL. To give you an example, in the National Football League, 20 years ago, in 2004, the average completed pass, it was around 59%. You fast forward 20 years later, it is at 65%.
But that tweak was the line of scrimmage thing. That's a tweak. They didn't say all of a sudden it's Canadian football and they can come running at you.
Yeah, all they've done is they have just made freedom of movement that much better for wide receivers and protected quarterbacks more. They've just done it little by little over time. You remember, there was a time in football where if you were a wide receiver and you ran over the middle, I would knock your head off. Now, if you do that, it is a 15-yard penalty. You are getting fined. That is a drastic rule change from when you and I used to do it. You and I remember where part of it was, hey, if your quarterback holds on to the ball a little bit, you need to deliver a big shot. You do that now, they arrest you right there on the field. You can't even play football anymore. Football has had radical changes this entire time, and we have just accepted it. And you know what? We like football more and more every year. Why do you play fantasy football? You don't play fantasy football to draft defense. No, you play fantasy football to draft touchdowns. You want guys that are going to score a lot. That is the whole basis of it. No one wants to bet the under. What I'm seeing baseball realize is we don't have enough hits, we don't have enough players getting on bases, and you know what baseball is at its absolute best? When the ball is put into play. You want to know what this generation of baseball player doesn't do? They don't put the ball in play. You and I grew up, and I know you and I are two of the biggest baseball fans, but you remember Hitting 300 used to be a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
There are 11 players right now in baseball that hit over 100. There are 11 players that hit over 300. You also remember that striking out used to be a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Striking out doesn't matter. Everybody strikes out. You strike out 2-3 times. No, baseball, I'm not saying you got to always get a hit. When you put the ball in play, it allows the defense to do something. Everybody is moving when the ball gets put into play. Maybe this isn't the right way to do it. I'm not saying this is the perfect way to do it. But I am happy that baseball, they notice what I would say the casual fan notices about a sport. Hey, man, this is boring. And they're trying to do something about it. I keep hearing people talk about, hey, baseball's not what it used to be. Baseball's not what it used to be because it's not a lot of action in it. We want more action. We want the ball hit more into play.
I actually agree with you. We need more action. We need to find a way to get pitchers and hitters on equal levels right now because pitchers are light years ahead. Paul Skeens was a year ago pitching in the College World Series, and now he's mowing down pros like it's easy money. There should be an adjustment. There should be a learning curve. Like for an NFL comparison, there should be a time where Troy Aikman's throwing 15 picks in a year and going 1-15. There should be some bad. We're not seeing now pitchers that come in the league. They come in the league, they mow people down. It's a problem. I'm for fixing that problem. I don't believe this six-inning rule is the fix for the problem. We both acknowledge the problem. I think baseball's acknowledging the problem. I think this is too radical of a solution to a problem. There are tweaks that I think can fix it. I don't think you need to throw baby out with the bathwater.
Someone on the text line says, this set of rule change is absolute trash. It's fundamentally changing how teams use their pitchers. I would just say that this fundamentally makes baseball what it was like when we were kids. That's what this is.
I don't think it does, though. I think it makes the hitters that way, but I think it makes the pitchers worse than when we were kids.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the case. I would love to look up the numbers to see what was the average length of what a starter was in the game in 2004. Because all they're saying is you need to pitch six innings, which is not like they're saying you got to have a complete game. It's not like they've been playing baseball for a long time. We can go back and look at Dennis Leonard and look at those guys and how many complete games they used
to throw.
And it has become more and more of a bullpen game. So I hear all these radical changes. This is the same argument people made about the pitch clock. Well, it's just millennials can't pay attention. Wait, hold on. Baseball in 1981 took 2 hours and 35 minutes to play. Now it takes 3 hours and 10 minutes to play. That's not millennials doing. That's a lot of nonsense in between. Let's trim off the fat here. All I hear this rule is we have to do something to increase offense. It's not like it's always been where hitters are hitting 233 on average. No, that's a recent thing. Little by little, every year, they strike out more and they get less hits. So, again, I applaud baseball for acknowledging that there is a problem and doing something active to try to fix it. Maybe this is not perfect. But I hear football fans, we acknowledge when something is wrong. You and I both love the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
NBA fans can acknowledge, hey, the way we do block charge is wrong. We need to fix this. The only people that think their product is perfect and cannot be changed in any way is baseball fans. Every year they release new iMacs. Every year they release new iPhones. They notice the camera was off and they try to improve the camera. Baseball is the only group of people that think they have it figured out. Even though I'm looking out there and you're getting 13,000 people on average to Royals games, but baseball's perfect. All right, I hear you.
I have those numbers, by the way.
Go ahead. Here.
Okay, so I've got both pitches and innings started from average pitchers. So in 1980 to 1999, the average starting pitcher went 6.1 innings. After, for about 20 years, it has consistently fallen. From 2000 to 2019, it was 5.8. And over the last 3 years, it is now sitting at 1.1 innings per start.
1.1 innings per start.
I'm sorry, 5.1 innings per start.
1.1. Well, I know. Okay, I'm going off what Quentin told me.
5.1 innings per start.
See? Basically, baseball wants to go back to how baseball was in 2001. And everybody's like, no, it was the worst. No, that's all I hear Rob Manfred trying to do. He's trying to bring that old thing back. You know, Rob, you all right with me. I'm going to defend you, Rob, on this show. That's what The Drive is going to do on 96.5 The Fan. Maybe we weren't doing that on 610 Sports Radio. I'm defending Rob Manfred on The Fan. Coming up on the other side, Danny Hughes is going to join us on the show. He played wide receiver in the NFL. The Chiefs, they got a bunch of new wide receivers. We'll get his thoughts on them next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive. I'm very happy right now to be joined by one of the voices on the Chiefs radio network. He does the color commentary. You can hear that right here on 96.5 The Fan.
Hit somebody in the mouth. Is it time to hit somebody in the mouth yet?
It's preseason. Don't do that yet.
Okay, you can't do it.
Don't
okay.
do that. That right. happened to J.J. McCarthy. Look, he's done. He's done for the rest of the season. Dana, how you doing, man?
Doing all right, bro. Good to be here. Good to be a part of this launch here. 96.5, the fan. A lot of excitement, justifiably so. So, yeah, it's exciting times.
What was the best part about a Marty Schottenheimer training camp? What was the worst thing about it?
So, my rookie year, that's when they traded the first two picks of the draft to get Joe Montana in. And Marty Schottenheimer, who was notoriously known for very hard training camps, went to Joe Montana and said, "What did you guys do in San Francisco to break up the monotony, loosen up camp, etc.?" He said, "We had a home run derby." So Marty instituted a home run derby.
You probably won that.
So, yeah, so we went to the softball field up in River Falls. Nobody wanted to be there because we thought the alternative would be we could cut practice and go sleep and go back to the dorm. But then Marty was like, "Okay, we're going to have a home run derby, and the winner gets $500. So that's when I started stretching. I was a rookie. I was like, "Okay, I'm going to loosen up. This is going to be my deal." I wound up winning the home run derby. I just literally 2 months before that was playing minor league baseball with the Brewers. So I wound up winning that. So I'd say that's my favorite training camp takeaway from Marty, is that he gave me an extra $500 as a lonely rookie on the team.
Do you ever think about how easy today's player has? Like, think about the practices. You guys would have to do two-a-days.
Oh, my God.
You'd have that first practice at 8. It went into 11. You guys could get something to eat. The next practice was from 2 to 6.
Yep.
These players today don't know how good they have it.
They don't. They don't understand. And it wasn't so much about the practices and the practice times, because at that point you're conditioned to do it. It's about the physicality within the practices. And every team had double days, so it wasn't like we were unique. But Marty loved to emulate the games as much as possible. So the physicality of 9-on-7 drills, 1-on-1s, crackbacks on linebackers and safeties, and the run play and the run game, all of that was in play every single practice. So the only thing we couldn't do in practice was cut. We couldn't cut block guys on our team, but everything else we had to do full speed. So that type of mentality and that type of approach was very tough.
Right now we're joined in studio by Dana Hughes, joining us on the show today. Have you noticed maybe a change in the quality of football because of that? Because I think about offensive line play. And the only way that you can get better in playing football is by actually doing it. It's not like baseball. It's not like basketball where you can simulate it in a way. I do feel like we've maybe seen a decline in offensive line play because the game is just less physical during this time. You can't teach it as much. Have you noticed that going from being a player to now calling it?
I think it's different. I don't know if it's better or worse, and I'd say it's different, C-Dot. Here's why. Because back then, when you went into preseason game one, you were already set and in the mindset and physically set to play game one. It wasn't like you were building up to something. Now, you even hear from Steve Spagnuolo last week, Dave Tobe, going into preseason games like, "Hey, we haven't tackled anybody yet. We got to see how we are with run fits and tackling and bringing guys down to the ground because we haven't done that." Back then, we were pretty much doing that in practice in double days in River Falls. So going into preseason game one, you were feeling like you were pretty much game ready outside of the installation and the parts of the game plans and the playbooks that you hadn't necessarily had a chance to tackle yet. So I feel like the physicality part, you saw that last week against the Jaguars, guys missing tackles, guys not necessarily playing fully to bringing the guy to the ground. Look at the opening kickoff. What they were able to bring back was 73 yards on that opening kickoff. I feel like if there was a practice leading up to that where you were able to really lodge into somebody, really not necessarily bring them down, but you were really okay with getting a nice little lick on them, you probably wouldn't have saw that big type of play.
Do you like the kickoff rule? Because,
yes,
you know, you're a player that this – you would have had to have learned the kickoff rules. That's where you would have made your money. Do you like the kickoff?
So, I love how the kickoffs were when I played. I mean, that's literally the reason why I was able to last in the league for 6 years. I was a special teams captain for 4 years. Kickoff coverage, kickoff return, punt coverage, punt return. That was my – that's how I made my bread and butter. When they legislated against that and they went to the safety – and you hear, you see me doing the air quotes and safety with basically the kickers kicking out of the end zone. It took a lot of juice away from the game. And if you think about this Chiefs run, and I've said this on my Players Only show, I said it on the broadcast, pregame shows, etc. I don't know if we win 3 Super Bowls. I don't know if we win 1 Super Bowl without what happened in that first Super Bowl in 2019 season, 2020. Down 24-0. What happened? Kick off to Mecole Hardman, changed the entire landscape of the game, changed the energy in the stadium. Then subsequently we score. Dan Sorensen knocks the ball loose on the kickoff coverage. If we didn't have that type of dynamic, the ball goes through the end zone, the Houston Texans start on the 25-yard line, and everything's clean. I feel like the energy that is brought back to the game, the way it is now, there's some adjustments that have to be made. And whether you're going to kick it in that kick zone, the landing zone between the 20, and now what we know is not the goal line but the end of the end line, I just love that people are going to have to stay engaged the entire 60 minutes as opposed to once we score a touchdown, now fans can go get a drink and they don't have to worry about the kickoff.
The analogy that I made, and you know this just having kids, that whenever your kid tries something new and they don't get it right the first time, you encourage them to stick with it.
Yes.
You're not going to be able to figure something out in the first 15 minutes. You got to build it over repetition. I understand that the kickoff rule is new, and I don't fully understand all the rules yet. But I am willing to acknowledge that, I mean, last year 77% of kickoffs were touchbacks. It had become a nothing play over the course of an NFL game. And to what you just said, kickoffs are a major part of the strategy and momentum of a game. You can change the complexity of the game by one big kickoff and how that can inspire your team. So I'm willing to give it a try. I've had the stance of give me 1 month. I want to see the kickoff rule for 1 month because you and I both know this. There's going to be a couple of teams that they are going to figure this out before the other teams do.
Yes.
And we're going to see what it could be around the league because the Saints have it figured out. The Jaguars have it out. The Chiefs have it figured out. And then the rest of the league is trying to catch up to what these teams are doing.
So I don't think that the fans really realize the metrics that go into the breakup of a game. And I even go back to my days with Marty Schottenheimer. We would stand in special teams meetings and team meetings, and he would break down when we got a kickoff that went into the end zone, and back then it came out to the 20, what the next drive, where that went to, and then how subsequently the ball was punted, returned, field position, punted, returned throughout the game, and how many legitimate times that you had, as an offense, had an opportunity to score easily. That's how far they broke it down. So when you talk about now, think about this Jaguars game. I think in some respect, what you saw with Peterson, the coach for the Jaguars, decide, I got a rookie kicker. Do I want to put it on his shoulders to have to put the ball within the 20 and the goal line? Or do I just decide, instead of you normally having the ball at the 25, we're just going to concede that everybody's going to have the ball to 30. Just kick the ball in the end zone, have the ball to 30. That defeats the whole purpose of what the NFL wants. But you can make an argument that that might be the smartest decision made in the game of football, where you're just saying, you know what? Get the ball at the 50, we'll take out lumps, as opposed to putting the pressure on the kicker to kick the ball inside the 20, but not at the 21, because now you get the ball at the 40, or if you kick it out of bounds. So there's some chess match mindset. There's some deciding of how much weight do you want to put on the shoulders of a kicker. It's all well and good. You've been up at training camp. I've been up at training camp. I've seen Harrison Butker kick the knuckleball inside the 20, and that's all great. How about Thursday night football against the Ravens? Your adrenaline is flowing, and you got to kick the ball inside that window. And if you don't, you give the ball to Lamar Jackson at the 40-yard line. There's decisions that have to be made that I think are going to be intricate in how the game is played this season. But you're right. It's going to take a while for teams to understand where they want to be. What's the identity of kickoff that the teams want to have? Do they want to have a kickoff where, like the Jaguars, we got a rookie kicker, kick it in the end zone, we're going to give them 130 and let our defense play? Or are you going to be more creative than that, knowing that you can roll the dice and maybe put a team one and a half first downs away from actually putting points on the board?
Right now, we're joined by Dana Hughes here, going through some of the top storylines with the Chiefs as they have concluded training camp. Dana, let me get your thoughts on this wide receiver room. Hollywood Brown is now hurt, so you're removing him for the mix, at least for the first two games. I'd be surprised if he played on the Thursday night against the Ravens. Also would be surprised if he plays in the game against Cincinnati. I'm looking at that Atlanta game as the first possible game that he could come back to, but I mean, last year you didn't have a healthy Travis Kelce for week one against the Lions. You now add Xavier Worthy, who maybe Xavier Worthy just live up to the expectations. You at least got to respect his speed on the field, and you got to account for it if you are the other team. I think just by those two things, they're further along than they were last year. How do you feel about this wide receiver room and the pass catchers as the season's about to get going?
I think this is the most complete wide receiver room that we've seen in the Patrick Mahomes era. Complete wide receiver room. May not be the best talented top two, top three when you talk about the Legion of Zoom leading in that 2020 Super Bowl with Sammy Watkins, and you had obviously Mecole Hardman and Tyreek Hill. Who knows about big playability yet, but I feel like as far as in totality, when you're talking about one through probably seven, maybe eight receivers that you would keep as options, in totality, this is the most talented group. There's several guys in that group that have something to play for, something to prove. Sky Moore is the number one guy that comes to mind with that. You think about Justin Ross. Do you want to be a complete receiver, or are you just going to be a guy that's going to be a fade route and a hitch route type of receiver because you're bigger than most corners? There's a lot of activity in that side of the locker room, in that meeting room with the wide receivers, a lot of speed. And now you have more opportunity because you know Hollywood Brown is not going to be there. So other guys that may have been possibly on that cut line, the Nico Remigios, the Sky Moores, the Kadarius Tonys, those guys that may have been kind of, I wouldn't say afterthought, but maybe on the back end of the thoughts as far as who's going to be the core receiving group, barbecue or mildew. You got an opportunity to shine or not in this situation. And to me, the best times you see guys that you can get the best out of is when they are realizing opportunities. These are opportunities now. Hollywood is not necessarily, he's not being held out like Justin Jefferson. He's not being held out like Davante Adams and ready. He is out. You know he's going to be out for at least the first two games. Who's going to be the guy? Kadarius Toney is basically in working with the third team most of the training camp. Are you going to step up and assume that opportunity, even though you missed the last preseason game with an injury? Is it going to be Sky Moore that's going to say, you know what, I got to assume this opportunity because I don't know if there's one going to be one that's going to come for me again? I love that aspect of the game. I love that you're going to have the guys that are going to have to shine. Rashee Rice seems like there's not going to be a decision made on him for this year. I love that they can go in with a clear mind, recognizing that he can be that crossing route intermediate receiver amongst the two speedsters on the outside. So time will tell. Hopefully we don't sustain any more injuries, but I like the room in totality.
Right now we're joined by Dana Hughes here for a couple of more minutes here. I really like what I've seen from Justin Ross. I think Justin Ross has had a really strong camp so far that you mentioned kind of the back half of that wide receiver room. I think we know who the locks are. Brown, Worthy, Watson, those guys are the locks. I would say Mecole is more than likely going to make this team. I'd be surprised if they let Mecole go.
Yeah.
It feels like you got three or four guys fighting for one spot with Nico, Ross, Tony. It seems like you got four guys fighting for one spot. I really think if we're just evaluating it based on camp and the uniqueness of the wide receiver that they have, I like Justin Ross out of those four guys.
I like him too. I like his size. I like his ability to be a guy, and you think about on a grander scale, with Tony Gonzalez back in the day and Dwayne Bowe to some extent in the past, where there was an automatic mismatch in regards to size and with the touch and precision of Patrick Mahomes. How do you exploit that where you have Justin Ross on one side of the field as the X, the other receivers running in motion, moving to the other, the short side of the field, and now you have an isolated, shorter corner against Justin Ross. But the challenge that I have in digesting is that all he's going to be? Because I feel like defenses are going to prepare for that accordingly, and do you use up a game day spot just for that guy that's going to run go routes and hitch routes? Now, if he expands his route tree and shows that he can catch slants and run after catch, break tackles, maybe run a dig route here and there, then I'm like, man, I love him. I love his makeup. I've engaged with him. He's very cool to talk to, very down-to-earth young man. I'd love to see him on the field more. I just feel like if you're talking about different guys, different components of this offense, to have one-dimensional guys, I just don't know how that's going to bode well for this offense as big as it could be.
That is our guy, Danny Hughes, joining us on location here. Happy
yes,
to have you joining us on 96.5
The Fan.
You guys broadcast on Saturday, right? When time does the pregame start for you guys?
Well, we're not doing a full pregame show before the game.
I'm hurt that you're telling me I can't get 3 hours of preseason preview for Chiefs and Lions. You guys got to get ready for the regular season, too.
I know you're going to be laying in the fetal position, sucking your thumb.
Hurt.
Because you're not going to be able to have 3 hours of us.
I think
you're
going to
have an hour. You're going to have an hour.
That's good. This is our last Saturday without college football, so I don't know what I'm going to do this weekend.
So college football?
I don't have any college football or no Olympics. I guess I got to watch preseason football.
So are you putting college football above NFL football?
The preseason-wise, yeah. I would watch MAC football over NFL preseason. I would watch D2 football over preseason. I'm sorry. You cannot get me excited to watch Mac Jones with the – with the Jacksonville backups. You cannot get me excited to go watch that.
I get you. I'm on your same page. It's going to be fun, though.
That is our guy, Danny Hughes, joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up on the other side, we'll continue to get you ready for the Royals and the Reds series, which kicks off tomorrow as the Royals look to continue to increase their lead in the wild card race. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Very happy to be here with you. Let me tell you guys something, if you didn't know this. You know the Royals recently traded for Paul DeJong. We spent so much time talking about the relief pitchers that they acquired. Michael Lorenzen, Lucas Erceg, Hunter Harvey. Then we forgot to talk about Paul DeJong. Did you know that Paul DeJong, he has not been that bad since the Royals acquired him? He has had 25 ABs. He is hitting 320. He has a 1,000 OPS, two home runs, and five RBIs since the trade deadline for good old Paul DeJong. You know what? JJ, I give you a lot of credit. The Erceg trade, he was a much-needed acquisition for this team. Paul DeJong, you got him on the cheap, but he's really helped this team out. The Royals did a good job at the trade deadline with the limited resources that they had. We knew that the Royals were not going to go out there and take a big swing, but they made a couple of smart moves, and Erceg has certainly helped this team on the back end. And Paul DeJong, as a spot starter guy off the bench, has been a decent acquisition for the Royals.
I remember it was on the other station, now on 96.5 The Fan, and then it was 610 Sports Radio. I played the breaking news sounder when the Royals traded for Paul DeJong.
I was hating on it.
And you and Aaron Ladd were hating like I've never seen before.
I was hating. I don't
know. Who is this man? He's a guy on the White Sox. He plays a little bit. He's a platoon guy. Why is the breaking news sounder going off?
To be fair, it wasn't much to get excited about a guy who was hitting 191. You can see why I was not super excited about the move. He was hitting 191 with a little bit of pop. He's hitting the ball pretty well since he's come over to Kansas City. If this is the version of Paul DeJong that they got, I was wrong.
I like the Paul DeJong move then, and I like the Paul DeJong move now for this reason. It was extremely low risk, high reward. They gave up, I believe it was either a single A or double A player, and they get the next 2.5, maybe postseason months of Paul DeJong. And you know what? If it works, it looks like it does now. He almost hit for the cycle yesterday.
They'll also get him back if they really want him for the cheap.
Exactly.
Paul DeJong ain't signing nowhere.
They ain't breaking the bank to keep Paul DeJong.
100%.
But if you're like, hey, we prefer a young guy in the system, you can walk and it's no harm, no foul. The worst case scenario is he comes over and he's just okay and you gave up nothing to get a whatever player. So Paul DeJong's success is how the Royals are going to have to win games, not just this year, but in the macro. Carrington, they're never going to be the team that trades for. I remember a couple of years ago, it's about 10 years ago now. Remember the Dodgers traded for Manny Ramirez at the deadline? The Royals are never going to be that team. Even their big move at the deadline was for a reliever. Like, they're never going to be the.
They needed him, though.
They did. They're never going to be the, can you believe they made that move team? They're going to be the win on the margins team. And Paul DeJong is a win on the margin. You gave up a player that right now the text line doesn't even know the name of the player they gave up, and they got a guy who can hit for a little pop, he can play a little defense, and he has added another bat to that lineup, and it gets a little bit longer. So now, as you get closer and closer to postseason play, if you're an opponent, you have to worry about hitters 1 through maybe 6 now, where a month ago it was basically 2, 3, and 4 were the only weapons in the Royals lineup.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Before we do that, I want to read two news stories to you guys. The first news story, Dr. Pepper and Krispy Kreme are coming together for a collab. Rob, they are going to have an unglazed donut that is filled with Dr. Pepper white cream that's dipped in chocolate icing. It's also going to be decorated with white piping to look like a football. Is this something that you are excited about? Are you excited about a Krispy Kreme donut that has Dr. Pepper flavored cream in the middle?
Dr. Pepper flavored cream could go either way. I could see a scenario where that is very tasty. And you know how I am. I'm willing to try anything once food-wise. I will try to be an adventurous eater once or twice. So you know what? If you were to bring this to the studio, I would try a Dr. Pepper donut. Now, there's no guarantee it's good because Dr. Pepper cream is a wild ride, but if it is good, sign me up for that food.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a first-class trip to the dentist's office with the cavity. My teeth
hurt. That's all Krispy Kreme donuts, though. Hurt. Come on now.
Okay, but this, they take in the original excellent recipe for Krispy Kreme, and then they just added more. They poured more sugar on the top of it with the Dr. Pepper filling here. Are you a Dr. Pepper fan?
It is my go-to soda, so yes, I am a Dr. Pepper fan.
I never knew that. That's
yeah,
your number one
my number
soda?
One. Number two is Sprite, but number one is Dr. Pepper.
Sprite's the best one.
No, it's not.
Sprite, it's not even, honestly, it's not even close between Sprite and everybody
Have
else.
Have you had, you know, Dr.
What it's
Pepper?
Like? You
it's
know
incredible.
What, you want to know what Sprite is like? Sprite is like KU in the Big 12 in 2013. Like, you can suggest other teams are going to win the league. No, we know who's winning the league. It's Kansas. Sure, you like Iowa State. You like Baylor. No, you like Sprite. I always say this about Sprite. Sprite is the soda where, let's say me and you are on a road trip, and I say, hey, do you want anything? And you say, hey, get me a pop. If I bring you Sprite, you're 100% happy with it. You might not be happy if I bring you a Pepsi. You might not be happy if I bring you a Coca-Cola. If I bring you a crisp, refreshing Sprite, you're thrilled. That's what makes it the best. It's versatile.
I think everyone likes it because no one dislikes it, but I don't think anyone seeks it out.
Like I do. I love Sprite.
If you handed me a Styrofoam cup at Quick Trip and you said, pick something, I'm probably not picking Sprite. But if you brought me a Sprite, I'm not upset. Just because it doesn't have the bottoming out basement does not mean it has the high ceiling. It's just steady Eddie. It gets the job done. That's why everyone likes it. Dr. Pepper has a much higher ceiling. When Dr. Pepper's good, out of the fountain, we talk about the Coke machines over at McDonald's being different.
Yeah, because
Dr. Pepper at McDonald's, just it fizzes, it crisps, it pops in your mouth. All 23 flavors just explode like you wouldn't believe.
Nobody has ever said that about the Dr. Pepper at McDonald's. They say that about the Coke. They say that about the Sprite.
They do not say it about the Sprite.
What are you talking about?
No one's like, ooh, I got to get that McDonald's Sprite. That's, it's so crispy.
That's the most inaccurate opinion that has ever been given on this station or the old station. I don't want you to think that it's just a 96.5 all-time bad take. That is the worst take. I will go out of my way to make sure that I get a McDonald's Sprite. The second thing that I want to share with you guys before Mitch Holtz joins us on the show today, they are making a John Madden movie. They're making a biopic of John Madden. They are going to get Nicolas Cage to play him. Nick Cage, they are getting to play John Madden. How are they going to make that work?
I don't know. They're going to get him in a fat suit? I honestly couldn't tell you. I like Nicolas Cage. I don't like Nicolas Cage as John Madden. I'll tell you that right now.
I love John Madden. Don't get me wrong. I watched that Madden documentary at least three times when it came out. What could a John Madden movie be about?
By the way, this is directed by the guy who did Silver Linings Playbook. So it's not like some...
So it's going to be sad. So it's going to be depressing.
It's not some schmuck producer and director. This is big time.
Yeah, what could the John Madden movie be about? And I saw the documentary. He's in the documentary talking about his career. What is the John Madden movie going to be about? Everything worked for him. He was a Hall of Fame coach. He then quit coaching. He had a Hall of Fame video game career, a Hall of Fame broadcasting career. What was the challenge in the life of John Madden that I need to see?
Is it the fact he didn't fly? Are we going to get a whole 10 minutes on why he chose bus rides over flights? And that, you know, big moment where he said no to Delta Airlines and yes to Greyhound? Is that the big thing?
I'm not interested in him being Mr. T from the A-Team. I'm not interested in that being the plot of a movie. And in no way am I here trying to disparage John Madden. I love John Madden. He taught us all football. I'm not interested in watching a John Madden movie, especially when I just saw his documentary. An hour-long love fest of John Madden with everybody who was on the cover, former players. John Madden already has a movie. It's called All Madden. You can check it right now. It's on Peacock. You can watch the documentary. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Mitch Holtz, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. That's all coming up. Keep it right here. So drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.